Philippians 3, 7 through chapter 4, verse 1. These are God's words. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. They set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, in which he teaches us in verse 7 and 8, that we are to have Christ as the treasure that is worth losing everything else. In fact, everything else put together is like rubbish by comparison to the Lord Jesus. This particular rubbish includes all of the things that in the previous verses, verses 3 through 6, the apostle thought were to his credit, but to which he refers in verse 19 when he says, glorying in their shame, realizing how imperfect everything he had been proud of before is, and it's actually shameful, not glorious. So that if we try to glory even in the good that the Lord gives us to be able to do by grace, if we think we have attained to what Christ has earned for us, then we are deceived, because what he's earned for us is full enjoyment of him and full conformity to him. And so you and I must never be proud of any good that we do or think in this life, because it's so imperfect. Being proud of that would be to glory in shame. But it also includes all of the pleasures of this world. This he refers to as those whose God is their belly, setting their mind not only on the earthly things of their own works, but then on the earthly things of the pleasurable things of this world. No, Christ is the infinitely better treasure in both cases. The treasure that we enjoy and the treasure of our righteousness. So he says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Why? Because we need a righteousness that will stand on the last day. We need a righteousness that will make our resurrection to be a resurrection to life, not a resurrection unto death. Because we want to enjoy Christ forever, not only soul, but soul and body. And so if we have him now with sufferings, we're fine with the sufferings if we can have him. In fact, we have fellowship with him in the sufferings, and the sufferings become sweet to us by the fellowship that we have. And then when we have death, the death is like his death, verse 10, a way by which we come into glory, just as he was glorified in the resurrection from the dead. And so we enjoy suffering with him. We enjoy dying in him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Blessed are they who die in the Lord. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? We enjoy suffering with him. We enjoy dying in him. And of course, we enjoy him in the resurrection. Therefore, he is not satisfied with earthly pleasures of the body, because he's looking forward to a resurrected body and the enjoyment of Christ forever in the new earth. And he's not satisfied with any spiritual attainments that he has in this life, because he's looking forward to being perfected in Christ, enjoying him fully and being perfectly holy. And so he says, the mature in Christ so value him, so value the resurrection, so value holiness, that they're always pressing forward, not to that with which the flesh could be satisfied, but they let Jesus' desires drive their desires. And so what do they press toward the goal and the prize for, to lay hold, what do they press toward to lay hold of? They press to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of them. Perfect holiness, resurrection body, everlasting enjoyment of him and glorifying him, new heavens and new earth. That's what we are to press for today. That is the aim, the prize that we press for today and every day of this earthly life. And that's how mature believers think. He says in verse 15, he says, if you don't think this way, you're not mature. And you might think you are mature, but God will be merciful if you're a believer. If you think otherwise, if you think you're mature but not, but God will expose you. God will reveal even this to you, he says in verse 15. So he says, don't be satisfied with your works, self-satisfied. Don't be satisfied with physical, temporal pleasure, earthly, worldly satisfied. Find your satisfaction only entirely in Christ, something that you will not have until the resurrection. And so stand fast in Christ and keep going forward. Don't ever come to a place where you're complacent in your Christian life in this world. You have not yet become what you must become. You have not yet fully enjoyed the fullness of what Christ has secured for us, and that for which Christ has secured us. So let's pray for his help to live this way today. We ask, Lord Jesus, for the ministry of your Spirit to continue, that you would write this truth on our hearts, that we would look to you and love you and delight in you and serve you, and that you would give us great joy in the confidence that you are taking us ultimately to perfection of holiness, resurrection of body, fullness of enjoyment of you forever. And we pray, Lord, that you would then help us today to live as those who are pressing towards this. We pray that your Spirit would give us humility and gratitude and eagerness and zeal, and that we would be content even in suffering and find suffering sweet if we have fellowship with you in it, in this part of our life. So help us by your Spirit, we ask, in your own name, Lord Jesus. Amen.